Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Old Fashioned Football on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code OFFSGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. 5 winners are going to receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. We're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Hey, what's up? This is Sam Acho, and you're listening to Old Fashioned Football.
Old-fashioned football.
You make this deal right now, you pancake-eating mother...
All right, deal!
Old-fashioned football.
Welcome to old-fashioned football. If you're wondering who you're listening to, this is J-Mark. You can find me on the X at J-Mark Football. And if you're wondering who us is, that's old-fashioned football at old-fashioned FB. But before I keep going, I got to bring in my co-host on the pod and in life. You can find her on the X at the Mer Mark. Mer, how are you doing today?
Is it the weekend yet?
Not quite yet. No. Shout out to the chat. RD has the night off, so we are stuck with him.
Hey,
we will
RD.
Take it. Looking forward to hearing what you think about some of these players, because we're going to be talking about franchise tags. Already have one person franchise tagged. We'll get to that, but there's some others that might be hitting the free agency. Then we're going to breeze over free agency drafts, yada, yada. But yeah. How you doing? I know you want it to be the weekend, but
I do.
Well, we did have a good weekend last weekend.
We had a great weekend. The weather too, like the weather's been up and down. We started the week off on Monday at 72 degrees. On Sunday, we were outside playing soccer with our nephew, and it was just nice. Like you were in a t-shirt and shorts. We were in February.
I think we could say that I am a better soccer player than you.
I have some good foot action.
You are. Don't say that. That's a completely different site than our podcast.
hey, I have some moves.
You're very, all I can think of is your very first move when you went to
don't
stop
kick
ball
a rolling.
Missed it.
Well, that there's that. And then don't kick a rolling ball, like stop it and then kick it.
Yes.
We were trying, Aiden and I were on a team. And we were trying to get balls past you.
Yes,
we did succeed.
Yeah, sometimes.
Trying to get him in the passing game, passing
yes,
the ball.
Yes, we're trying to teach him some soccer skills. Mm-hmm. He did inform me that kids at school say he don't kick too well. so I was working on him with that since I did play a lot of soccer when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And kind of teaching him some. It was a lot of fun. And they're going to be here in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And he said, or I said, we're going to have to play some soccer. And he says, do you even have a soccer ball? And I was like,
of course we do. This kid.
Jeez, children. But some other stuff went on this weekend.
Yes, and I just sent you a photo, and you're like, why are you sending me this? You don't have to show it yet.
Okay.
because I have a question for you. Like, you know me and my family and how we get about things, how you could say we take some things to the extreme. It's in my competitive nature to not stop when there's something like to have the final say or the to
this
win.
I know about arguments. She always has to have the final say.
But I like, where do you draw the line? So this stems back to,
I'll tell you where.
This stems back to something that was said on our show.
Yes.
So we did this past fantasy football season was our first season that we decided we're going to do a family league. Let's get our family members who don't do fantasy football. Let's teach them. Let's get them in. And we made their first league be an auction draft. And
yeah,
it was fun. Right in. We have all of them hooked. They mm-hmm. get it. And there's
they
so much
again next year.
So much competition there between your parents, my aunt, uncle, my cousins. It was good. However, there was I wish I knew the date, but we brought up some, and this was episodes later, after my mom made this trade where she wanted to do trade backs for a week, and we're just like, no. Anyway.
Yeah. Let me give you this player for a week.
And so then we'll trade back. So she wanted to be in the playoffs. There was a move that my parents were making, and it was just like weaselly. And yes. We don't do weasel, like no weasel moves in fantasy football. It was just so weaselly. And we were calling my mom a weasel for fantasy football, and she got so offended, super offended.
Yes.
But I made a gold weasel, like I made this homemade mm-hmm. gold weasel trophy for her that I gave to her at Christmas.
Yes.
During that side of the family's family Christmas. And she was she gifted you a weasel shirt.
I know.
She didn't know I was going to give her a gold weasel trophy.
I don't know how I got roped
in. And then
weasel.
We leave family Christmas.
And the line had been crossed.
You were
the
so
too
mad.
Far line.
There were bumper stickers on our car.
Yes.
That says
right now.
Yeah, cue it. Because I'm the weasel. We knew immediately my mom put this bumper sticker on our car. Ignore the dust. We live on off of a gravel road. Just ignore the dust on our poor vehicle. But so anyway. She puts this bumper sticker on, and then you were so mad, and
I
like, it's not a big deal. They can come off easily. If you're having trouble getting above, I haven't done it yet.
I know.
Time. I have driven by myself, and I've like been in a parking lot walking to a car, and I'm like, oh my God, this sticker is still on our car. This is like, because when you pull up behind somebody at a light, what do you notice? Like if they don't have a bumper sticker, you're looking at their license plate. You're always trying to make words out of license plates.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, you're looking at all these bumper stickers and like, yeah, anyway.
The other sticker she put
on
there
said, everybody who's followed us has seen this bumper sticker.
The other one she put on there said, ask me about my explosive diarrhea, but that one fell off quickly.
It fell off and you could barely see it. It was black lettering. Anyway.
the line was crossed.
So you were so mad, and I have been thinking of how to get back. Well, we did something this past weekend.
Yes.
At my parents' house, we were about to leave. You already had started playing soccer. I was like, we're all outside because it's 60-some degrees on a Sunday. And I had seen a TikTok or a reel or something of this lady who ordered like hundreds of mini like ducks.
Yes.
And hid them all over.
We should have had your video ready to play of the ducks.
We should have. And hid them all over their parents' house when they were gone.
Right.
So we ordered 260 of these things, and I proceeded to hide them all over the house before we were leaving. Everybody's outside, and I hid them in not just inside the house. I don't know if they've all been found. I think the last update was that my mom found 141 of them.
Yeah, she had not found them all.
No, and how it started, it was great. She goes to start laundry, and I put one inside the laundry thing in the cap. So she takes the cap off and she's pouring. I just hit my mic.
Calm
and
down.
the duck falls out with the laundry. So, and she was freaked out.
She was like, I know she told us, she's like, I was thinking, do I need to contact Tide? What's going on here?
Like, find a blue duck in your laundry detergent and you win a prize. Like, what's going on? And then I think she probably found a duck in the fridge. Like, she started finding them and she's like, okay. And
way to go. If she hasn't found the fridge ones, you gave that away. She doesn't
believe that we hid. I don't think she, I feel like she thinks she's found them all.
Yeah.
I got very creative. And I know that there's payback coming. She's already threatened things. One of the things that was threatened is that if we're ever gone on a weekend or a vacation this year, she's going to get people together and come paint our house Packers colors.
Yeah, that's crossing the line.
Is it? Okay, so this is. No, I know it is. This is the question. This is the question. What is, like, because I have to then, it would never end. It's never ending. We have started something that will never end. And I don't know what, where the line is.
This is why I told, I did tease your dad telling him, did you see the new stickers I put on your truck? And he's like, my truck? And I was like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I didn't have anything to do with the bumper sticker thing. Like, he got really worried.
My dad like wants to stay out of this.
Yes.
But it is war. It is like, and where do you stop? And the thing is, the 260 is not the end of it.
No.
We're talking like, we're talking like 1,000. So I'm just going to end there. I'm going to end there.
Nick in the chat says Jeep owners do that to each other already.
I've seen they duck that. Each other.
Nick, these are like,
they're like half an inch.
So it's hard to find them.
And
I was
like,
actually impressed you found that many.
Like, I know.
If I wouldn't go on a mission finding them. It would just be as they turn like, up. Eh.
Like my mom has these like hair creams in the shower that they're in like these tubs. I unscrewed the lid, put a duck in the cream.
How do you know she found that one already?
I don't.
If she watches.
If she, then there you go. She's at 142.
I'm going to cut you off. I went to this level.
Like my poor sister, like she had stuff. She has stuff at my parents. She's staying at my parents. She's impacted by the ducks.
She also got ducked.
She got ducked. But we said 260 and yeah, that it's just not even. And I have a feeling what's coming to us after this is it's going to be big. And then what do we do back? And where do you cross
we
line?
Stop.
I think when you cause somebody to devalue in property, I think that's the line. So well, you have
a RD in the chat will argue that Packers colors will improve the value of property, no, but
a
I
green
disagree.
And yellow house. I think not. I think I would cry if we came home and our house is green and yellow. I would cry. First of all, I don't even have the time.
Right.
We don't have time to fix that.
That's true.
How long would we go with the Packers house?
You know, well, I thought the stickers was too far. I know they come off, but
you
that,
were so mad. I was like, Justin, this
you don't
really
touch
isn't
other people's
deal.
Things like that. That bothers
anyway,
me. Anyways,
we've started something and I just don't know where it ends. And my mind has just been thinking about this. And thinking about how far does this go before it's over?
Yeah. we're going to move on here before people get ideas and you give away other hiding locations. Just a quick reminder, we got Redwood Empire next week.
Yes,
we're excited
very
to
excited.
Talk with them. Talking with their head distiller, Jeff Duckhorn. Sorry. We have free agency coverage, of course. We have draft month in April, which is going to include some giveaways. More on that later. And then what are we drinking today?
We are drinking Castle and Keys Restoration Rye. We're drinking it right now in our old fashioned. We will be trying it neat later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Did you put chocolate bitters in this old fashioned?
I did not.
Do you get chocolate?
I'm not sure.
Or now
yet.
That I said that, do you taste
well,
chocolate?
Well, now that you said it, I'm going to.
I
way
thought
to
maybe
go.
You use chocolate bitters.
No, I made them how I always make them. I like to stay consistent when we're trying new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Make it the same way. But I will tell you, before you said that, when I opened it and smelled it, chocolate came to my senses.
Yeah, chocolate.
For sure.
Very chocolatey.
Like a baker's chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not like a Hershey's Kiss or whatever,
no.
Like a baker's kind of type of chocolate. Check in with the chat. RD says you can only do green gold house if you live in Green Bay. We don't, so let's not do that. Mm-mm. If your parents are listening. Nick said he's not taking any sides, so Nick, you're removed from our Christmas card list. Because it's our side or no side. Just kidding. Hey, real quick. Let's talk about Underdog Fantasy. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and it's also the fastest growing app in the industry. They have a pick 'em game where you can look at your favorite players, and they're going to have a higher or lower stat total in their week's game for a chance to win big. I mean, we're talking NBA, MLS, baseball. That would be MLB. I don't know why I said baseball and the others. Anyways, pick between 2 and 5 players to build a pick 'em entry, or you can do the rivals. Like, this player is going to have more points than this player. It pits 2 players against each other. And all you got to do is sign up today with promo code OFFSGPN to get a first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. That's right, a special. Visit UnderdogFantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with promo code OFFSGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Got to be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.nepgambling.org. And SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. If you sign up now, between now and the end of the month, which is tomorrow, 5 winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today using promo code OFFSGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, let's talk a little franchise tags. First of all, if you don't follow a lot of football, maybe you just are a casual fantasy football player, or maybe you're here waiting to hear about the whiskey, the Castle and Key Restoration Rye, you might be saying, what in the hell is a franchise tag? So every year,
how does it affect fantasy football?
Exactly. So every year there are a list of players who are eligible to be franchise tagged by their team. Now, what that means is the team can say, hey, you are not hitting free agency. We are going to say you're one of
like
our franchise.
Like their contract's up. So yes, they would be going to the free agency. So yes, their teams are reviewing and they might decide to franchise tag them. So they don't hit the free agency and they have to stay on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
For a 1-year contract.
If they sign it, we've seen this controversy where they don't sign it. They want a longer term deal, yada, yada. They threaten to hold out, all that stuff. But this is important to know, because if your player in your fantasy football league is not franchise tagged, you can assume that they're likely going to hit free agency and be on a different team. If they are franchise tagged, which there's been one so far as of what we're doing right now, then you know they're going to stay. So let's run through these real quick. I'll go wide receivers, quarterbacks. You do running backs, tight ends. This is just the names. Then we're going to dive into it a little bit more. But wide receivers, T. Higgins, who was tagged.
Yes. He's the only one.
Yeah, he's back on the Bengals. Then we got Michael Pittman of the Colts, Marquise Brown of the Cardinals, and then Baker Mayfield of the Bucks could be franchise tagged.
We've also got for running backs who all have been told they will not be tagged. We've got Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry. And for tight ends, we have Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, so Saquon Barkley tagged last year. But yeah, it is interesting to me that they have all been told, like, hey, we're not tagging you. Some of them were told, like, we're going to try to make a deal, but we'll see how it goes. It's going to be crazy. This is going to be a crazy free agency, more so than I feel like some of the past have been.
There's so many. There's so much talent hitting the free agency,
especially running back. Running back is a loaded room. So let's talk about buying or selling some of these players fantasy football wise. And I'll kick it off with T. Higgins. We said that he was already franchise tagged, so there's no question about where he's going to play. Now, he finished wide receiver 49 last year because he was injured some games. So I think naturally, if he stays healthy, remember when we're projecting fantasy football, we always just assume players are all going to stay healthy. We know that's not going to happen. But let's say he stays healthy. I think he'll obviously be better than wide receiver 49. He's a really talented wide receiver. The defense has to focus on Ja'Marr Chase. But because of that 49, I think if you can get him for like a less value, if you could, you know, kind of swing it to somebody like, you know, he had a down year, had some injuries, he's on the tag.
If you're looking to offload him, I think that
I'm saying to get him.
To get him?
Yeah. Try to talk somebody into, you know, he was only wide receiver 49 last year. He had injuries. He's not going to stay healthy.
You could go that route. You could also, I was thinking if you were wanting to get rid of him, you could use the fact that, like, you know, they'd have, you could do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know?
So if I'm doing the opposite, I go, hey, he got franchise tagged for a year. He's going to want to play his ass off this year to get paid.
To get paid.
Yeah.
And we're horrible. We're like going the opposite here.
That's all right.
But no, but yeah, he's going to want to get paid. He finished wide receiver 49, but that was with injuries. Had he not been injured, he would have finished higher. And now he's going to have all this motivation.
Yeah. It's obviously good for Joe Burrow to have T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase.
Yes.
RD pointing out, which I did hear this, still talk he could be traded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, usually we don't see players traded on the tag, but it absolutely could happen. I've seen that talk as well. I think he stays there for another year.
This is assuming, everything we're talking is assuming he's staying.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bounce back year for the Bengals, actually. You know, they had a down year. I just think it's going to be a bounce back. Burrow was hurt. Higgins had injuries. Ja'Marr Chase had injuries. They're gonna bounce back here. So you want to talk about the next guy?
Yeah, Michael Pittman. Like if you're, I think I'm buying. It's hard to see him getting any worse, no matter where he goes. He finished wide receiver 15 with Gardner Minshew.
Right. Yeah.
So whether he's back with Anthony Richardson or has another QB, like he's still at least top 20.
Yeah.
So I think he could be.
Not,
yeah.
Think, yeah.
Top 12 with a solid quarterback. So. I don't know. I think that the Colts would be dumb to let him walk away.
I agree. I mean, when you got a guy that put up the numbers he did with Gardner Minshew.
Minshew mania.
He's a hell of a wide receiver. I don't think they should let him walk, but who knows what happens with that organization. They're a little cuckoo sometimes. Another wide receiver that we're going to talk about, Marquise Brown. He did finish wide receiver 52 last year. Obviously, Kyler Murray was hurt most of the year, but I think he has the potential to finish above wide receiver 52. I just don't trust him. I think he's going to be that type of guy that he had a couple good seasons. Well, one, he had one really decent season where like, wow, Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown is going to break out. And then it was just kind of disappointment after disappointment. He could never get back to that. I think he's going to kind of fade out personally. He'll always be kind of a number two or three on the team, in my opinion. So if he's on my team and if I can get an okay price, I'm selling him. It doesn't have to blow me out of the water. But I'm getting, even if it's like in a dynasty, if it's a round two pick, I might take that because I think
can get behind that.
Yeah. I think there's more potential at a round two draft pick than there is with Marquise Brown. So, but I do think the Cardinals are going to let him test the free agency. I don't think he's going to stick around.
No, I do. I see him going.
Yeah.
I see him going. I've got Baker Mayfield next. And if he's starting and stays in Tampa, I want this guy. If he's competing for a job elsewhere, I don't know if I do. So I'm kind of waiting on him. He finished QB10. And as much as I love the Baker Mayfield fire, I think that this was his ceiling and I'd sell high.
If you can get a good return for him right now. Yeah.
I think 100%. You could sell him high.
You think he sticks around in Tampa?
I feel like it's best for him too.
It is best for him. I agree. They've said they want to bring him back. And I mean, he took him to the playoffs. He deserves to go back in my opinion. I mean, I think he deserves to go back. We're going to flip over to the running backs in 1 second. But before we do, Miranda, why don't you tell people where they can make some better bets?
You can make better bets over on Hall of Fame Bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value.
Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get it 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. All right, let's get into these running backs. This is a guy that I was high on this year.
It's the Kwan.
Actually, yeah, past 2 years, I've been high on this guy. He did finish his RB12, and despite where he lands, I think he stays there. He's a really talented guy, runs the ball, catches the ball. This is a guy where last year, before he stayed with the Giants, I wanted him on the Bears. I'm sure you heard me say that over and over. I still want him on the Bears. I know everybody's concerned with injury history. I think he's shown he can stay healthy despite where he lands, though. I think, and this goes for most of the running backs, not all of them, but most of them, I think they're going to get paid. I don't know if it's going to be a big payday because it's kind of a saturated market when you think about the guys we're talking about right now and some we're going to talk about in a minute with the free agency. But whoever pays them is going to want to use them. You know, they want to get their money's worth. So I think that Saquon's going to get paid. I think he's going to get used. I hope it's by the Bears. I don't know. Maybe RD wants him on the Packers. You know, if Dylan is gone, maybe a Jones-Barkley combo is what he's hoping for. But if I have Saquon Barkley right now, I'm holding. I'm not buying. I'm not necessarily buying. I'm not selling for sure. I think I'm just holding. I do think he hits the free agency. The Giants are kind of on the cusp of a reset. I mean, Daniel Jones has not panned out like they thought.
Dan Jones. He's back to Daniel Jones.
He's back to Daniel. He hasn't done much.
He lost the Dan.
Since getting his $40 million a year contract or whatever. I think Saquon goes elsewhere. He might decide to stay with the Giants just because he seems like a guy that would be loyal. But I'm hoping he walks. I want to see him in a different uniform, honestly.
Where do you want to see him?
The Bears.
Well,
of course.
Like, where do you think he's going to go?
Think about Saquon Barkley on the Texans. With CJ Stroud, you know, you can't just key on the run because he's a good passer. Devin Singletary did all right last year for Stroud, but think about Barkley in that backfield. That's what I think takes them to a next level.
I'm loving the Texans.
I know.
I'm just going to say, they're like, what do you think? Surprise team that I like to have this. Like,
I do think they come back down to earth a little bit next year. I think maybe them and the Jaguars are going to trade some blows. But what do you think about Barkley on the Texans? Are you all in on that?
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I hadn't thought about that till right now, but it sounds pretty sexy.
Right? Yeah. Down, girl.
All right.
Real quick, RD says, Packers, don't waste money on running backs. Extend Jones and draft youth. Use money better places. I kind of agree. That's probably what the Packers will do. And then RD thinks Saquon could go to the Ravens, which would be interesting too. Lamar and Saquon back there. That'd be really interesting.
That would be interesting.
As interesting as Fields and Barkley, but.
Well, having a running back like Barkley go to a team okay.
Is that what you're going to say?
Well, or where you have such a, like, Lamar is the prominent running back on that team.
True. But if you think about, like, option reads, now they have to account for Lamar and a guy like Saquon. That really ups their offense.
Do you think fantasy relevancy is still there for both of them?
It's there, but I do think it hurts Saquon.
Not Lamar. For the rushing.
I don't think so because he's still gonna have his random. He's gonna have his breakouts
Okay. Yep. Just had to vet you.
I like it.
All right. Next, Josh Jacobs. We disagree on him so often. I know
this fucking guy.
This guy. I like Josh Jacobs. You not so much. He finishes RB27. I see him. It's hard for me not to see him landing back with the Raiders, even if it's just a year on the franchise tag. He isn't past his prime.
No. Right.
He's still young. He's 26 years old. And you know me, and like sometimes prime age for NFL running back between the ages of 23 and 27. He's 26. He's in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
I like him. I just do. I like Josh Jacobs.
I know you do. He just has some inefficient numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's done well in the past, but if you look at like his rush per average, it's not what you would think it would be for somebody who is considered one of the better running backs in the mm-hmm. league. So that's what had me off of him last year. I know
2 years before he was like, what, in our top 10? He was in the top 10, finished top 10. He did regress this year, but I think he's going to finish higher.
Think he's going to bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. So I know we're going to talk about Derrick Henry next, but I know Tennessee is in on Tyjae Spears, but if they move Henry out and Josh Jacobs comes in, he's a similar type of runner that could share with Tyjae Spears and succeed just as Derrick Henry did, in mm-hmm. my opinion. That would be an interesting move for me.
It would be.
Jacobs to Tennessee. Thoughts? Or do you want him on the Texans too?
I don't know. I don't want Josh Jacobs on the Texans. Let's leave him.
How about the Bears? What do you think about Jacobs to the Bears? You love Josh Jacobs.
I know.
I don't. So I would be against it. But
I don't know. We'd have to see how that plays out.
Yeah. Look at that. RD says Jacobs is a prototypical Bears style running back. Yeah. I mean, he's a better down to Foreman. I would say mm-hmm. that.
Absolutely.
And Foreman, you know, did all right last year when he was the featured back. So, yeah, that would be interesting mm-hmm. to see. Derrick Henry, a guy that's going to hit the free agency for the first time in his career, finished RB8.
A top still. 10 running back hitting the free agency.
Yeah, I don't think Tennessee brings him back.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he finishes top 10 again, ever.
Ever.
I think.
Bet.
If you think about Derrick Henry, he has had a massive workload, more mm-hmm. than anybody. If you go back to when he was a rookie till now, he has had more carries than any other running back in that time frame. And so I think anybody that does pay him is going to put him in a timeshare. I think he's going to be, he still may be the featured back, but I think they're going to want to preserve him. If I'm paying for you, I want to preserve
your legs. I can agree. Yeah. I think preservation is.
Yeah.
Probably going to happen.
And because of that, even though he's very talented and he will mm-hmm. probably make a lot out of the carries he does.
I think I'm going to agree with what's coming out of your mouth. Yeah. Keep talking.
I don't think he'll finish top 10 ever again.
Okay. I thought you were going to say.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say, like, because of it, like, he finished top 10 this past year because just he is a talented running back. Mm-hmm. I think now you sell high.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know that you're going to get the same value for him any other time.
I agree. Yeah. Dynasty-wise, especially, sell him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's probably on the tail end of his career, unfortunately. I mean, Tennessee says, God bless Derrick Henry. They love him. You know,
they
we
do.
Talked to Victoria Edie Butler, and she was going to be sad.
Yeah, I brought up Tyjae Spears, and she was like, no.
Yeah, I know.
like Henry.
Love him. But, But yeah, I think he falls mm-hmm. out of that. RD in the chat says Henry to KC for a cheap deal, smash and dash with Pacheco, as if KC needs more offensive firepower. I mean, they don't need to get better.
No.
But I do agree that would be an amazing combination.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're building a dynasty. So yeah,
they are. I mean,
they're
that's at that point, I would buy into Henry for fantasy football wise, but still not as like a top 10. But that would be an excellent spot for him where mm-hmm. you have a quarterback that moves the ball down the field easily and you can vulture those short yardage touchdowns. So I want to talk about back.
Tony Pollard.
Calm down. I'd say about Tony Pollard.
He did finish RB15. Uh-huh. But
he got
with
lucky.
That, I don't want to agree with you, but I'm not big on Pollard. I wasn't last year. I don't know that I am for 2024, despite where he lands. I just don't see him as that star running back.
Yeah.
Didn't anticipate him to finish.
No. And for, we were both out on him. And for me especially, mm-hmm. like I listen to the Sports Gambling Podcast guys a lot.
and I'm trying to take these blinders off. I know. Cowboys. I'm trying to take the blinders off for the Cowboys.
If this is all coming from things they've said, then you need to stop right now.
Well, CeeDee Lamb, elite. I will never doubt CeeDee Lamb's ability again. Pollard, though, I'm still going to, whether he's a Cowboy or not, I'm still going to doubt it. Speaking of Cowboys,
I was going to say former Cowboy coming up.
Yeah. Texans, Dalton Schultz finished tight end 11. I think the Texans re-sign him, whether it's franchise tag or just a one-year deal. I think he probably had fun playing with CJ Stroud, staying in Texas. And I think with Stroud as his quarterback, he'll stay in that top 12. We know tight end is such a weird position.
Yeah, fantasy-wise, tight end 11 is not relevant. It's just not. Obviously, if you're in a 12-man league, you have to have somebody's got to have the tight end 11, and they're likely starting.
It's going to be RD.
RD, Dalton Schultz, is he the tight end for you? But if you're not investing in your tight end and getting if you're not investing in getting one of the top four tight ends, then it doesn't, it's like a wash. Like you're going to be tight end 11, tight end 8. It doesn't matter.
Next year, or not next year, sorry. We're going to try to do some like fantasy roundtables with some of the fantasy football media people and people that do pods like we do this off season. And one of the questions I am prepared to ask revolves around tight end. Are you taking Sam Laporta or Travis Kelce? Which one? I'm asking you now, though.
You're asking me.
Yeah. On the spot, which one are you grabbing?
Laporta for anything that's dynasty keeper.
No, I'm just saying redraft right now. You know you're taking a tight end.
Or Kelce. Well, Kelce said he's playing. Well, obviously he's playing again. Yeah. And if this next year is his last year, doesn't he go out with a bang?
Or does he continue to kind of slow down?
But he didn't. He picked back up in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He did have a little slump there. Was it Taylor Swift distraction slump or? I don't know. Something happened there, like kind of not mid-season, but like mid to end season. And then he picked right back up.
Yeah, the playoffs.
He finished really as the Travis Kelce I expected him to be all season long.
Yeah.
He still finished tight end 1, tight end 2, depending on.
Yeah, he was 3, but.
Tight end 2.
In half PPR, he was 3.
Are you sure?
Positive.
He was finished. Okay, well, then maybe I was looking at a PPR league. Yeah, he finished tight end 2, not or tight end 1. Sam Laporta is tight end 1.
Actually, no, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns. That's kind of what held him back this year, I think.
He didn't get in the end zone.
Not as much, yeah. Except against the Bears when Taylor Swift was at her first game.
I still, calm down. Sam Laporta being tight end 1 is not a fluke.
Yeah.
I think he's going to stay up there. He's going to stay top of the tight ends. He's elite.
We're going to turn to the chat.
So I don't know. I feel like that's such a hard question. I love both of them. Both. Right, I'm taking them both.
I could see you doing that, actually. Shout out to the chat. Artie said he probably will end up with Dalton Schultz because he hates drafting tight ends. And then he says,
you got to do it, though. It makes a difference in your season.
I know.
I invest and I was in playoffs in every except the family league. The family league was just all kinds of effed up because
of the weasels.
No, because we're drafting with people who don't know what the heck they're doing. I would not spend the kind of money on the quarterbacks. Your dad, my dad, both drafted 4 quarterbacks.
That's true.
Like, what is happening? So it's just all skewed when you have newbies, when you have a bunch of noobs in the auction draft.
It was also, we did continuously pause to answer some questions.
We did. So
there was a lot of noise going on. I'm usually a person I want to.
Yeah, we did do our family draft on the portal. So we're all, it was all kinds of chaos. We've got your parents on their portal at their island drinking their whiskey.
And Dad did admit maybe he had too much whiskey or not enough. I don't know.
And your poor parents have to listen to my loud family. The hoys.
The hoys.
The hoys.
Yes.
The noise they were pushing through our portal was intense. I'm used to it, though. This is what I grew up with. I grew up with this loudness. You hear them in their house with wood floors. That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
When you have the kids are growing up now, but when they were younger,
they're still loud.
They're just a loud family.
Now, tell Addie, but she is almost as loud as Aunt Jill.
She is. She's got
love you, Addie, but you are quite loud. Though she has told me several times when I've let that slip, she's like, well, I have to talk over them. Good point. Good point. So those are the franchise tags. We're going to keep updating you as the news comes across, if somebody's getting mm-hmm. tagged, if they're not. But aside from franchise tags, we got the free agency hitting mm-hmm. up. And there are some big names hitting free agency that are going to impact your team. And now we're not going to go in depth with that this week. Next week, we're going to go in depth with it. And then the week following, we're going to cover it because it'll have happened pretty much. But we're going to look at some of the top names right now. Can you go ahead and tell everybody when the free agency period is?
Yes, it starts March 11th at noon. And we'll be covering it in a full episode on the 14th and talk fantasy football impacts.
You'll be gone.
Yes.
So you're going to be on business travel.
No, I will be not on the 14th.
You'll be back that day, right?
I will be back.
Right. Well, but all I was going to say is make sure you follow our YouTubes or mm-hmm. our Insta, because I will be doing videos of like updating you who signed where and stuff. I'm not going to dive in because I'm going to keep the video short. But if you don't want to keep checking Adam Schefter's Twitter, you can follow us and I'll give you a nice little video of who's going where. So let's talk about some of the top names. Do you want quarterbacks and running backs or wide receivers and tight ends?
I'll take wide receivers, tight ends.
All right. So quarterbacks, we got Kirk O'Chains. Kirk Cousins. did you see? You probably didn't see it. I probably browse on my Twitter and Insta too much, but Kirko,
you think,
has a photo at the dentist with a gold grill. I'm really hoping that he did not really get a gold grill and that was just like a fun photo or something, but it looks really real that he now has all gold teeth on the top.
Nuh-uh.
100% okay. Serious. If you haven't seen it, Google it. It's good. Jacoby Brissett, who probably not a starter, but a great backup, mm-hmm. I feel like. He's a good backup guy. Baker Mayfield, we already talked about him. Ryan Tannehill, probably a career done, aside from being a backup. Jameis Winston, famous Jameis. He's a different one. Gardner Minshew and Tyrod Taylor. Then the running backs, this class is loaded.
It free is. Agency, this is like so much talent in this.
Yeah, we got Saquon. I mean, we already talked about Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard. But then you add DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler, and J.K. Dobbins, which brings me up something. In April, draft month, on Old Fashioned Football, all draft stuff. But we're running a contest. You have to be subscribed to our YouTube. And basically, all you're going to have to do is upload a screenshot on a form that shows you're subscribed. Going to get entered into a drawing for some signed gear. But So like if I pull you first, you get the first draft pick of the stuff you can choose from. But speaking of J.K. Dobbins, we have and it's unfortunate that maybe he's leaving the Ravens now, but it's the last Ravens one you'll get maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's the Lunar Eclipse mini helmet. It's all white with the purple Raven. As the kids would say, it is sick looking. I want it, but we're going to pass it along to whoever the winner is. And it's autographed by J.K. Dobbins. So mm-hmm. How about those wide receivers? Because there are some good ones.
We got Mike Evans. Do you really think he's going to leave?
I don't know. They should resign him.
Not in Tampa.
I know, right?
All right, we've got Michael Pittman that we already talked about. Kelvin Ridley, Marquise Brown we talked about. Gabe Davis. Curtis.
I hate Gabe Davis. I hate fantasy football wise because when I don't start him, he has this massive game. When I do mm-hmm. start him, he puts up zero.
See, I didn't have any. Despise I don't have any shares him. Of him, so it's
never
fine.
Drafting him again.
Curtis Samuel, leaving mm-hmm. Washington.
Who are the Commanders, as Colby would say?
I still want to. Whatever, we're done. Darnell Mooney. KJ Osborne. Whenever I hear KJ Osborne, I always want to say JK Osborne because of JK. Like I can't KJ, but I always want to say JK.
Backing up real quick. I don't feel like the Bears are going to miss Darnell Mooney. I'm fine seeing him. Bye-bye.
Tyler Boyd.
He's an interesting vet that could play well for a team. I don't think he's a star wide receiver mm-hmm. by any means, but he brings a lot of good experience.
Odell Beckham, is he done? Him. He's done.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, he did all right this year.
He just, I don't know. We'll see.
I did, by the way, see that Calvin Ridley is being a heavily favorite to the Bears.
What do you think of that? I feel like beginning of last season, you would have been, yeah.
I know. And now you're like I mean, it's better than Darnell Mooney, in mm-hmm. my opinion. If he's lining up next to DJ Moore, it's better than Darnell Mooney.
So I'm going to get through these last ones really quick. Yeah. No, you're good. One more wide receiver that I didn't mention is Michael Thomas. And then for tight ends that are going to hit, Dalton Schultz, already talked about him. Hunter Henry.
Your guy.
And Noah Fant.
Iowa tight end.
I love my Iowa tight ends, but he just doesn't make the list.
I love Noah. I love Iowa tight ends, but not Noah.
Sorry,
Fant.
Noah. You're out.
RD will know. My parents might know. There is an Iowa tight end hitting the draft this year, but nowhere near the
level.
The Laporta or the Hockenson caliber.
Kittle.
Yeah, nowhere near.
You can't leave out Kittle. What's wrong with you?
Naming the younger ones, but nowhere
Kittle
near.
Kittle is still relevant.
RD pointing out that Jonnu Smith got cut. I shouldn't poke fun at people. I saw a lot of, Kyle Pitts to the moon because Jonnu Smith was the fucking problem there. It was coaching and the fact that he can't block. Give me a break. I don't think Jonnu Smith getting cut is going to affect Pitts. It's whether they utilize him right or they don't. Anyways, sorry. I'll digress. Eric All, that's the tight end for Iowa that's coming out. I knew RD would know. I digress. Let's get off the Pitts talk.
Yeah.
My Pitts patient is just patient at anger now. Anyways, the draft. We talked about the draft.
Yes.
April is draft month.
And it is. Yes. And we also have the combine that starts tomorrow through the 4th.
It does. Yeah.
With that, I mean, we're going to start seeing which teams are meeting with which players, who's giving a closer look.
Yeah. So Bears, Commanders, Jets, Patriots, Giants. There were a couple others. Those are the teams that are meeting with quarterbacks right now. So that gives you an idea of who might be in the market for quarterback.
And this is when we really see like the draft rumors really start to pick up. And you can come and get all those rumors from us because you know we're going to bring the rumors.
Absolutely. I mean, today I dropped the Zach Wilson has been given permission to be traded. Is trading for Zach Wilson. We got some really good comments on Instagram that like the Patriots are going to trade a nickel, some pocket lint, and a 2026 seventh round pick to get Zach Wilson. Somebody else said a 2039 seventh rounder. So just maybe in 2039 you can finally have return. Anyways, the draft's 25th through the 27th. You're also gone. Why are you gone during all these important dates?
I have a lot of travel coming up.
The night of round one.
We are not. Just because I'm not here, we're not going to let anybody down.
No.
We will still be here.
Night of round one. I will be live on our channel just having some drinks. I did it last year. I drank some different things while just updating you on who the pick was and our thoughts of how it's going to impact fantasy football. And like we said, we're going to have a big giveaway. Mm-hmm. So in April, make sure you show up. You're not going to want to miss it. We're also going to be talking about all the prospects. Got to bring Colby back.
But the next couple of months, it's important. It's very impactful for your fantasy leagues. You've got to keep an eye on it. I mean, it's going to change fantasy football player values. Some guys are going to obviously go to new teams. Their stock will change.
Yeah.
They're going to change the stock of the people on that team, depending on who goes where. You'll just have to, also have to remember that they open up target shares or running back carries.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like
for other players,
if Saquon leaves,
when they leave,
who's getting the carries there and who will be fantasy relevant then? For sure.
There's a lot. It's like, how does it impact the team he goes to? How does
that too
change the team they left? What does this mean? When they're drafting, it's just a lot.
I agree. RD says he will join to celebrate Caleb Williams to the Bears.
Isn't there talk right now? Now there's talk that the Bears are looking to trade that number one pick.
Oh, the newest rumor. I don't even think I told you this.
I don't think I heard this.
The Bears are going to trade the number one pick. And the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields. Both.
Both?
Yeah, they're going to trade
back. How does that?
They're going to pick one of the other quarterbacks because they're not sold on Caleb Williams. So they're going to trade down a little bit.
So we missed the first Mahomes. And now we have the opportunity to draft another quarterback. The first quarterback that's hitting the draft that has been compared to Mahomes since Mahomes. And we're going to pass on him too? Are we drafting Mitch Trubisky number two? Because I would like to pass on that. How long has Mahomes been in the NFL? When was he drafted? 2019?
Maybe, but Drake May out of North Carolina
gives me Mitch Trubisky vibes. I think he's better, but look at us, like, trade back one or two spots and draft Drake May. I would take Daniels from LSU if we're moving on from Fields. Mm-hmm.
But trade it wasn't the 2020 draft, though, right? That's what I'm trying to get at. Like, we're not repeating our mistakes. Mahomes has been in the NFL. It was before 2020. Mahomes got drafted. But do you know what I mean? Like, all the things are...
Now I feel like I need to
look. Are we following this conspiracy theory that we started?
Right.
Somebody else started it. We just expanded on it, and there's too many similarities.
2017.
Okay, 2017. So I was like even 2 years off with 2019.
Yeah. Yeah. Now there's some things coming up with Williams' size, and that he reportedly played at 6'1", but maybe at the combine is not going to measure 6'1".
Repeat that again.
He played at 6'1". That's how he was listed through college and everything.
But he's 5'11".
There are some concerns that he's not much bigger than Bryce Young, maybe an inch or two.
How tall is Bryce Young?
5'10".
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm
so out on the Caleb Williams stuff. I do not want him on the Bears. I will accept it because I'm a diehard fan that loves pain.
Size doesn't matter if he's
That to Bryce Young.
If he's Mahomes' talent. Bryce Young wasn't compared to Mahomes.
Oh, we'll get into it when we talk about these prospects because I have so much more to say.
But if he is, let's just say he is, though. If he is the talent of Mahomes, even if he's ranked right behind Mahomes, do we pass on that?
We got Fields. I like Fields. I like
Let's say like what you just heard they're trading the first round pick away and they're trading Fields out. You pass on a Mahomes like?
Well, it would be very typical of the Bears too.
I know, but
they
why
would draft
do we
JJ
do this?
McCarthy from Michigan. That would be just the ultimate Chicago move. Like, let's draft this JJ McCarthy guy that looked
good.
Put
this into existence.
He looked good in Jim Harbaugh's system, mm-hmm. but isn't a guy that succeeds in the NFL. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting one.
It's going to be.
But still, like, Caleb Williams, some of the comparisons he gets are to players like you would not want on your team. Zach Wilson was one of the comparisons he was given. I don't want Zach Wilson on the Bears.
But Mahomes.
Yeah,
I know we've talked about it. We would have ruined Mahomes. Would we have, though, or would we have changed?
I don't know. You know what? I don't want to talk about Caleb Williams anymore right now. I was not mentally prepared to get in this today. Let's talk some whiskey.
You open the door even
I'm
further.
Shutting the door and locking it.
My foot's in it.
Yeah, get it out of there. I don't want Caleb Williams to the Bears. I know it's a possibility. I am fully aware of that, but I don't want it.
Okay.
I want to pick Caleb. Not Caleb Williams' brain. I would love to pick his brain, but I want to pick Colby Dant's brain over this. Because if you look...
Let's bring him on the show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's get him on the show soon, and let's pick his brain about it before...
Because when you look at the top five quarterbacks, mm-hmm. Caleb Williams has one of the worst completion percentages. He has the worst pressure to sack rate. He holds the ball the longest out of all of them. He takes the most sacks out of all of them. Even when holding the ball too long, he's still getting sacked. Out of these top five guys, there are so many flags that I'm throwing up going, no, not today.
Not today. Okay.
You did our whiskey history or research. I'm going to pour it and taste it while you're talking about it. Is that
right? Yeah. You're like, we're just moving on here. I'm not even in transition. Yeah. We're just doing this. You're angry.
There's nothing that gets me fired up more. Then Caleb Williams to the Bears, except Kyle Pitts.
Or Caleb Williams.
Kyle Pitts to the Bears with Caleb Williams.
Okay. So as we put that back in the bottle, hold up the bottle.
Yes, ma'am.
As we mentioned earlier today, we are trying Restoration Rye from Castle and Key Distillery.
Really cool bottle. Very heavy.
As soon as we open the box, This was really exciting to receive and get to try this. So thank you so much, Castle and Key. As soon as we pulled this bottle, I was just like, wow, it's heavy. The glass is heavy. It has all the metal finishings. Like even the stopper has that thick metal on it, the metal bands.
I picked took the stopper out and this thing is heavy.
Yeah. Like it's heavy.
Yeah.
It's got, You know me and my bottle and the architecture of a bottle.
I know.
It even has the metal, like, released in 2023 at the bottom there. Let me see. Camera. There we go.
Yeah.
It has Castle and Key imprinted into the glass. I love the design of this bottle.
Yeah. Big shout out to Perla. Perla sent us this. So yes. Big shout out to her.
Big shout out. This is wow. I said wow when we pulled this out of the box.
She did.
Wow.
Yeah. You, a bottle and label and everything like that is a huge thing that you notice.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, you can't not notice it. Calm down. With this one, you can't not notice, in my opinion.
Nope.
All right. You talk, so, I'll pour and taste.
Castle and Key Distillery is located out of Woodford County, Kentucky. And I think that's they're in Frankfort, Kentucky. Yeah. And the distillery, it's beautiful. It's a castle. There's an actual castle there.
I got a photo.
You do? Show the photo. There you go. It's just beautiful. The castle's like off to the right there. What you're seeing is like the main distillery, but there's a castle there. So
I want to go.
I want to go too.
Yeah, 100%.
We can. I'm not to spoiler alert here, but they have Airbnbs. Wow. Castle and Key does.
In the castle?
No.
No.
Their houses that they restored. So
All right. It
was this, their distillery was previously the old Taylor Distillery, and Castle and Key began restoring it back in 2014. the actual castle itself was built back in 1887 by Colonel Edmund Haynes Taylor Jr.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, but we're here to say it. This site first served as a distillery dating back to 1819.
So I'm just going to go ahead and assume if you are a whiskey fan, you know the whiskey E.H. Taylor. I'm going to assume that's named for him.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
It would make sense.
It would be. So it was, built back in 1887, and it was only 40 years. 1920, Prohibition forced the closing of the distillery, and it changed hands back and forth, different occupants, until it basically like fell into ruin. And come 2012, just about a century later, Will Arvin came across photographs of the abandoned distillery, and it really like just captured his mind, and like he thought about it until he found himself going there himself to see it. And when he went to see it, he took a flashlight, like there's roofs that are caved in, everything's covered in like overgrowth and vines, and it's abandoned and probably a little scary. And I would be scared.
I'm sure you would.
It's a little creepy going there by myself.
I would be like, this is cool.
I would be
like, this is creepy.
Like, if I'm going to go by myself, take a flashlight in the middle of the day because it's so dark and all these buildings are caved in and I'm in this old 1800s castle. And anyway, so it's just, I just go back to like horror movies. But no, I'm sure this is really cool. He had this vision and he wanted to see this place restored. And so he went out there in 2012. They purchased Castle and Key in 2014, started restoring it and turning it into like back into a distillery.
Mm-hmm.
They first released clear spirits, so like your gin and your vodka, in 2018, and then the Restoration Rye that we're trying was their first aged spirit release.
Oh, nice.
And they released it in 2020. In March 22, they released their small batch Kentucky Straight Bourbon. And that bourbon was the first bourbon distillate to be distilled and released at the historic old Taylor Distillery in 5 decades. So really cool.
Yeah.
So if you're in the area or looking to travel, you can book a tour. This place is so cool. It's a huge place. You can do the tour. You can walk like the botanical trail through the gardens. They're located along Glens Creek, so you can grab a cocktail, go outside, walk around. That'd sit by the creek. Their place, like, you can also like use it as a venue. They rent it as a venue. It would be a pretty sweet venue.
Yeah.
But I also saw that if you're looking to stay in the area and stuff, they have Airbnbs. At first I was like, sweet, we're booking an Airbnb at the distillery. But no, they restored different historic houses in the area. They have the Shanklin House, the Field House, and the Stone House. So yeah, that's
interesting.
Really cool. You can go stay at a Castle and Key Airbnb. And yes, they decorated like Castle and Key. Like, I think it was like a photo of the Stone House I saw. They have like C and a K on the wall, and
yeah. Calvin Klein, right?
Oh, yes. No. They also have Castle and Key 502, which is located within the Falls City Market in Louisville, Kentucky. So you can go, you can shop Castle and Key merchandise. You can have a drink at the bar, sip cocktails while you shop. But yeah, that's in that Falls City Market there. So, before we get into like some of their other products that they have, let's talk about this Restoration Rye.
Yeah.
So let's do it. Here it is. I was like picking up my old fashioned. I already told you I tasted chocolate in the old fashioned, and you did not use chocolate bitters.
No.
But so before we go into like the what we're tasting and smelling, each batch of their Restoration Rye is blended using a series of pods. And what that is each pod, it's created by grouping barrels to create the perfect sensory profile. So the mash bill for the Restoration Rye is 17% corn, 63% rye, and 20% malted barley.
Okay. And that, I'm going to stop you real quick. That makes a lot of sense because I won't say all the taste stuff I'm getting yet, but I get a lot of barley. More than your regular, you get a lot of that like malted, just kind of a barley taste. It was interesting to me. Anyways, sorry, go on.
And they've had many batches over the years of this, but this is batch one of 2023. Mm-hmm. And a batch size for the Restoration Rye is 120 barrels. So
okay. Not huge.
I don't think pretty that's big, huge. It huge, is. It's no. A lot, but I don't think it's really huge. Yeah. And it was aged 3 years, and this proof is 106.5.
And it does have some heat. It's got some kick, but not.
It has to, like, it stands out. I'm assuming, like, whatever it's doing in this old fashioned, it's phenomenal.
It was really good in the old fashioned for sure. It has some kick, but I do like that the kick stays here for me. None of it goes down. So I smelled chocolate. I told you, you mentioned that, but when I opened the bottle, I smelled chocolate.
I don't smell
right
chocolate
away.
Here in don't a you? Smaller dose.
Do you want me to tell you what I'm tasting, or do you want to taste it first?
I want to taste it first.
You're going to need a couple times. So I'll just talk about the smell since you already did that. I did get some chocolate. It was, there's some sweeter smells there too, besides just chocolate. And then a lot of spice.
Very spicy.
Yeah. There's a lot of
kick
spice
at the end. Like,
yeah. Whew. Yeah, no, I know. That's the first the first drink. I took it and I get all that spice.
I've got to do my three sips.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my three tries.
Yeah, I'll wait. But the thing, this, yes, it's higher proof, but also just the flavor is very complex. There's a lot of different stuff going on there, and it makes for a really good cocktail. Old fashions are meant to be drank with a rye.
Yeah.
A lot of restaurants do bourbon. Mm-hmm. But originally,
I think my first old fashioned I ever had was with bourbon.
Yeah. And originally they were made with rye makers. Yep.
And
this makes a really good old fashioned.
It's going to go Four Roses. That was like my.
Yeah. The single barrel used to be your go-to. Yeah. Very, very rye forward, obviously. Very spice forward. But after about my third taste, I started getting some like sweet citrusy.
I don't know if I'm getting citrus. This is. I don't know. Do I get citrus? I don't think I get citrus.
Well, you're right and you're wrong. No.
I think I get like. I'll hold, please.
Mm-hmm. It's more towards the end. Like once I have swallowed it and I'm sitting, I get like orange. I don't know why I said it orange instead of orange. I'm trying to be fancy, obviously. I'll get a little bit of orange. Get some orange. I don't know.
No,
this has a lot of flavor to it, though, for sure.
Not orange.
No?
Not citrus. I don't get citrus at all.
You don't?
No, there is a fruit there. I'm trying to pinpoint it. We need our whiskey wheel.
It's in a thing right down there, but we don't have to get it right yet. He's just trying to blindly look.
It's right on the shelf?
No. It's in the...
Okay, well, we're just going to... I'm dropping stuff.
See, yeah, it's in the basket there, but that's fine.
Yeah, on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's what I was looking in.
That's not... You said it's on the shelf. It's not on the shelf. It's what in a basket.
What do you have in this basket? This basket drives my... It is no that's longer the, organized. So I organize story this
while
you.
You're doing that. Our cat, which I don't know if we've talked about on the pod, but we have a new cat as of
end of October.
And she's on the edge of my desk, which this is my desk I work at for my real job too. And she's just looking at me. She's sitting and looking, staring me right in the eyes. I look over. She's looking at me. What are you just looking at me for? And she just starts backing up while sitting, but backing backwards and just whoosh, down off the desk, falls off of it and grabs said basket that you just reached in as she fell and tipped it all over and then just looked at it and sniffed it like, hey, what happened here? Like, but I have no, she looked at me in the eye the whole time as she just started backing up and fell. She was looking me in the eye as she fell. I don't know what she was doing. Anyways, you found the whiskey wheel.
Yeah, more dried fruits, but it's not prune or apricot.
Maybe. I still get orange. I get a lot of orange with it.
I don't get citrus.
You don't? I do have a little bit of the baker's chocolate now that it's sitting. Like, just the finish, I feel that in my mouth. Like, I've had some baker's chocolate.
There's a richness. It's like a rich... Mm-hmm. A rich taste.
Consistency is good. It's not a thin
whiskey.
It's
got a good mouthfeel.
Mouthfeel, yeah.
Am I using the terminology correctly?
Yeah. I mean, it's not thick, but it's not too thin. Mm-hmm. So good mouthfeel. Yeah, I don't know. What else you got on it?
I think you're right. I think that malted barley really... Even though it's only 20% out, 20% of the mash bill.
I still think from what I've seen of ones we've had before, that's higher than a lot of them. And yeah, that does.
At the back of my mouth, you know, when you have like a something very cinnamony,
mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like that back there.
Like red hot cinnamony or cinnamon stick of gum?
Cinnamon stick of gum.
Yeah.
Cinnamon gum. Yeah. Yes. Cinnamon gum.
Yeah. No, this has a lot of flavor to it. A lot of spice. A lot of peppery spice so in there.
This sounds weird. Apricot to apricot. And then that barley and big red gum.
And big red gum. I like it. Now, we had the taste profile covered. Mm-hmm. Let's see what they say. Aroma, baked apricot, demerara sugar, dried cherry, ginger, honeysuckle, cinnamon, ginger. Allspice, and pumpernickel.
Ginger could be giving me that feel.
Yeah.
Oh, there, cinnamon is in there. That's the aroma, though.
Taste.
Pumpernickel?
Baked apricot, cane syrup, baking chocolate. I did get baking chocolate, fig, ryegrass, candied orange. Maybe we're confusing ryegrass for the malted barley. Maybe it's more of a ryegrass taste.
And then I said maybe not fig, but maybe it's a combo of apricot. But there's candied orange in there. You said apricot too. See, I was, when you said citrus, I'm thinking like tart citrus. Like
No. I get like a sweet orange.
Like a candied orange.
It says fresh rose. I don't get that. But I also have never tasted a rose.
And cinnamon and clove.
And the cinnamon. You pointed that out. The clove, now that I read it. That's probably a lot of the kick of the spice to it. And then finish candied orange.
Round mouth feel.
Because it makes you go, warming.
I don't think that's what that means.
No, a warming medium lingering spice. Mm-hmm. I definitely get that because I felt like the spice is just hanging around there. And it's good.
It feels like when you have like how your taste buds are all sizzly when you have a big red gum.
Yeah. Yep. No, I definitely get the cinnamon. I get orange in mine. Some of the baking chocolate, and then just a lot of rye spice.
I don't get any floral to me, and maybe it's just kind of hidden there.
Yeah, this could be.
But I'm really picking up on the what.
Oh, I just like what RD said. This is your real job. The other one just pays the bills 100%. Would love for the real job to be drinking whiskey and talking football.
That would be something.
Yeah. This is really good. Mm-hmm. It's complex. I like it in both, but I think for me, it's a
cocktail. The old fashioned was phenomenal. Yeah. Yes. I can't say that enough. Like we drink because of the show so many different old fashions.
Yeah.
This was good in the old fashioned. It was a standout, but different. Like, because you made it just the basic old fashioned, but with theirs. And I thought you used some kind of fancy bitters. I was like, did you throw the chocolate bitters in my drink?
Nope.
It tastes chocolatey. It tastes like a chocolatey old fashioned.
Yeah. Yep.
And that proof point, like that is, it's perfect to stand out. Like it doesn't, you don't lose it in a cocktail.
I feel maybe this is weird, but I feel like this would be really good in a Manhattan too.
Manhattan.
I could just really with the sweet vermouth that would kind of offset that sweetness with
chocolatey
and yeah.
Well, but I don't get chocolatey on its own. It's when it's with the other stuff in the old fashioned that the chocolate really comes out to me. Because I swear you put chocolate bitters in that.
I'm trying to think of another drink that I feel like this would be good in. Bouvardier. This would stand out really well in a Bouvardier, in my opinion. I guess I haven't made a lot of those. Is that bourbon or rye normally? Do you remember?
Bourbon.
It's usually bourbon.
I think.
I think this would.
I know when we first had it with bourbon. Maybe that's not right.
Yeah.
When we had it at a restaurant, it was made with bourbon.
All right. While I'm looking this up, why don't you tell us
one thing
more
about a Bouvardier, is that isn't it made with, Campari? Is it? No, not Campari. Amaro. One of those like fancy liqueurs, herbal liqueurs, but I hate the fact that it's the only one that's out there. Like there's not another, and it's,
I mean, Campari is Campari.
Is it Campari? Is it Amaro? Which
it's
one is
the
it?
Campari.
Campari.
Yeah.
It's that it has dye in it.
Yeah.
Artificial dye and coloring. And that like puts me off of it completely.
Per the Goog, but actually per liquor.com, most recipes utilize bourbon, though some people prefer the spicier quality of a rye whiskey in a Bouvardier. This has an amazing spiciness and it's just something that I think would stand out great. Yes. I want to make one now.
I think this would be fantastic. We need to try this in all kinds of different cocktails, but it's definitely interesting and unique enough, like on its own
for sure,
to have it neat. If you enjoy having your whiskey neat, I've come to enjoy having whiskey neat.
Yeah.
More often than not, but definitely stands out in a cocktail. Before we get into their additional spirits, I did want to point out that their Restoration Rye for the 2023, it got double gold at the Denver International Spirits Competition.
Nice.
In 2022, it scored 91 points in the Ultimate Spirits Challenge, and that's like excellent.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. In 2021, it got gold at the San Francisco Spirits Competition. And then they did get another award in 2023. It was gold at the Bartender Spirit Awards. And I can see, because a bartender should really consider getting this. Like, this 100%. Is like super unique in a cocktail.
Agreed. Yeah. The point system at the Ultimate Spirits Challenge, you might be going, I have no idea what that is. Above 90 is really good. We were talking with Brian Nolte, and I think, don't quote me on this, but I feel like he said Pappy got a 93, I think is what he said. So, I mean, Pappy is what people put on a pedestal for whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're getting a 91 and you're close to Pappy, you're doing something right.
Yes. Yeah. So some of their additional spirits, they have the Restoration Rye Single Barrel. They have, which I already talked about, their small batch, this small batch wheated bourbon.
Wheated.
Cool whip. Okay. They also have something that I think is really cool, and I did a lot of like clicking after I was reading on this. They have Untold Story, and it's like the untold story of Kentucky whiskey. It's unique. It's like a two barrel blend whiskey featuring Hickory King corn, which is an heirloom variety of corn, and it's aged 5 years. But this Untold Story, it's a collaboration with the Kentucky Black Bourbon Guild, and it has it's a very special limited release that was created to celebrate the contributions of African Americans to the spirits industry, both in history and present day.
Oh, nice.
And so then I also was reading that like diversity and inclusion, it's extremely important to the distillery. And with it, this limited release, 100% of the proceeds go towards the Castle and Key Scholarship Fund. So I was like, well, what's the Castle and Key Scholarship Fund?
Yeah.
So I looked it up, and it's a $5,000 diversity in Kentucky distilling scholarship that supports students of color who have an interest in working in the distilling industry in Kentucky. And it's also, if you get it, it is renewable. It's a renewable scholarship for 1 year, like for one additional year.
Oh, that's cool.
Of study. So I thought that was really cool that they do that. And
they study to be
collaborate with all of that with the Kentucky Black Bourbon Guild.
That's cool.
And as we've had like different like distillers on, like even like Victoria Edie Butler, like we are finding like so much of like Black history in distilling and bourbon. Yeah. And even like Tennessee whiskey, or, you know, yeah, is hidden, and it's getting like released, and the history and the stories are like the untold story. They're being told. Yeah. And it's really interesting. It's exciting to give the recognition there. So I thought this was really cool with their untold story. But yeah, it's just a special limited release. 100% of proceeds go to the scholarship.
Really cool. Interrupting you real quick. Artie said it sounds like it would be good with a ginger beer, not as mule, but just with a ginger beer. Ooh. I really agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would be good.
Yeah, for sure. I told him to start carrying it at the Moose, and I'll come drink that.
They also, so they have a lot of gins. So gin for me is second to whiskey.
Yeah, it is.
Second to my whiskey and my bourbon. So is gin. Like that is, if I'm going to have something and it's not whiskey, it's usually with gin.
I don't know what I would pick.
You're just whiskey.
I'm just whiskey.
You're just whiskey.
I like a couple gins. So
you do.
Yeah.
You've tried some of my gin cocktails or whatever. But they have many gins. They have two rotating gins. They're their seasonal gins. So right now, they still have the limited released for the fall and winter seasons. Mm-hmm. It's their harvest seasonal gin. And I wish we had a photo of the label, because the label got me. Like, not only are there like herbs and flowers all over this label, but they have those vintage gold like flower cutting scissors.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. I didn't buy gold ones. I bought like coppery ones for the garden to cut my herbs and flowers in the garden. And then they have a blue colored key with a castle, like an antique key with a castle in like the
swirly
part.
I have noticed that their labels and bottles, like
there's so much that goes into it, and it's really impressive. So yeah, the harvest seasonal gin is for the fall and winter. They have the rise seasonal gin for the spring and summer. They also have the roots of ruin gin and the wool gatherer gin. So there's a lot of information on their website. You can go and check those out, see what those gins are about. They also have the sacred spring vodka, and they do have a cocktail mixer. It's a Millville Mule cocktail mixer.
They got a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Roots of Ruin Gin, for some reason, just it sounds like something that should be in a board game. The Roots of Ruin. I don't know why. Yeah, that's really cool.
And all have the same, that's all their Castle and Key bottle.
Yeah.
But same the artwork on the labels is really cool, and it's neat.
From the different whiskeys I've seen on their page and stuff, their labels are very cool. This is really something I would recommend trying, especially if you like rye and cocktails, but it's worth trying on its own too. It's different. It's complex. You drink it and you can tell it's not a bourbon. You can tell it's a rye, but it's not like, you know, when you buy, without insulting some of the bigger companies, bigger whiskey makers, when you buy a rye, you're like, okay, this tastes like it's one of the ryes. And that's kind of where it stops. Mm-hmm. This, you can taste it's a rye, but there's a lot more to it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I was going to say, we haven't really, I can't remember the last time we had one of the more bigger brand distillery whiskeys though, since we've developed more of a palate.
Right.
Cause that's, we really true. Have, we thought we had a good whiskey palate before, but we really didn't.
Right. Agreed. Yeah.
So it would be interesting to go back and kind of try it. Like I think craft distilleries are just,
yeah, I like, they're the uniqueness, awesome.
Yeah, they're so unique, and different regions. I'm excited to where I can tell. I think I got Texas narrowed down. Texas is, there's something about Texas. I
saw
whiskey.
Some today about how like Texas whiskey has a Texas funk, and it, people it don't does. Mean it in a bad way.
Remember, when we were trying from Balcones, like I'm tasting Texas here. Yeah, this is a Texas taste.
Yeah, we're getting it.
Yeah.
You're right. We don't drink a lot of the big ones. We've also read a lot about a lot of the big names. They're using fairly the same recipe.
The same
recipe. There's a lot of the same recipe.
Well, they're
being
not
passed
craft.
Around.
They're not craft. Right. It's like the same, and but you get the same when you get to them. So like batch, like this is batch one of 2023. I'm sure it tastes different than batch one of 2022.
Right.
Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like, because.
Which would be interesting to compare.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. This, so I poured a second glass and it's much milder now.
You poured a second
glass. I did. It's much milder now than that first one. It does surprise you a little bit with the heat. But when
it's very complex.
Let it breathe some. Now it's a little bit smoother. It's really interesting. A lot of complex flavors there. So go check out Castle and Key, whether it's the Restoration Rye or one of the other many different products that you talked about. That wheated bourbon. I want to try that. Let's catch up with the chat real quick before we get out of here. RD says, have you tried the Revelton Mulberry Gin yet?
Oh my gosh, yes. A couple years ago, because here in Winterset, we have, oh my gosh, it's blanking on me.
The Drift.
The Drift. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And they have Revelton whiskey and their gins, and they have a Revelton mule.
Yeah.
A mulberry mule. And
you're a big fan of it.
It's good. Is it a mulberry mule?
Yeah. Mulberry.
Now I'm second guessing myself.
Because it's their mulberry gin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm second guessing myself on the
drink. You're a big fan of that. Yep. We need to have them on the show sometime. I mean, they are fairly close, so it would be good to have them to support. And
They're like 25, 30 minutes from us.
And I get it. My mother said I do a lot of wool gathering after drinking a few whiskeys, which I didn't understand at first, but counting sheep, gathering wool. She says a little sleeping after drinking a few whiskeys. I was confused at first, but I'm with you now. I got it. This is very good. Castle and Key Restoration Rye. Perla, thank you so much for sending this to us.
Thank you.
And thank you to the Castle and Key family for sending it. We really appreciate it. Really good. Highly recommend it. And check our social for a nice page or a nice picture of it. You took a really lovely photo of the bottle because it is, and we didn't, sometimes when we take photos, we had like some oranges or a glass. This just really stands out. Yeah, it stands out. So we kept it simple.
I'm running out of textures and places in our house to take photos. I'm like, every time I have to come up with something new and a different idea, I used our lamps today.
Just so you guys know, if you are in the Des Moines area, the Moose, the Flying Moose, does have the Revelton products.
Ooh, awesome.
And he said that RD said that might be a good idea for a live pod at the Moose since he carries a few of the products. Yes, that'd be sweet.
That would be.
For sure. Do you have anything else you want to add? Next week, we're going to be talking about the free agency and some of the rumors we're hearing
We'll have Redwood Empire.
And we have Redwood Empire next week. Yes, thank you for that.
On the 7th?
The 7th.
Yeah.
Yes. The video might be released the 8th, but the pod will be available on the 7th to listen. So anything else you want to add?
No, this has been fun.
It's been a lot of fun. Good luck. If you have Dynasty Drafts coming up, good luck with them. Have fun. Make sure you shoot us questions if you have them. Otherwise, my whiskey's almost gone. Going once, going twice.
Sold.